Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's up, listeners? Welcome to another episode of Thinking Outside the Boombox, your number one source for hip-hop and R&B news. My name is Ahmad, and I am your host. It is Sunday, December 5th, and I'm very excited to be back with another episode of Thinking Outside the Boombox. We just came off of a nice four-episode series for Hip Hop History Month. I thought that was really dope. I hope you all enjoyed learning more about the decades that defined hip hop. And this week is another special episode because, as I've mentioned over the past few episodes, this is the final season of Thinking Outside the Boombox, the fourth and final season. And so one of the things I wanted to do to commemorate the podcast during this final season was kind of have a farewell tour. So I invited a number of guests who have been on the podcast in the past back on for a final episode, you could say. But this time they get to pick the topic in hip hop and R&B that we discuss. And then we just talk about it. So I thought this would be a cool way to have the guests leave their imprint on the podcast one last time. So that's what will be happening in the Dig Deeper segment this week. I'm very excited about it. Very dope conversation. But before we get into all of that, I am going to give you a song of the week. And I'm going to have a press play segment where I keep you up to date on all of the things that have been going on in hip-hop and R&B since the last episode. But before we do all of that, I do want to say rest in power to Virgil Abloh, the iconic fashion designer who died last week at the age of 41 from cancer. He was a fashion designer whose work was easily recognizable from his infamous quotes, the artistic director for Louis Vuitton, the CEO of Off-White. But Virgil did a lot for hip-hop as well. He was the creative art director for My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Watch the Throne, Yeezus, Long Live ASAP, Love is Rage 2, and a bunch more. He will truly be missed. And I'm proud to say that he was from Chicago. Rest in power to Virgil and prayers up to his family, especially his wife and kids. So, some house cleaning. For you to have the best interactive experience with Thinking Outside the Boombox, I think it would be best for you to sign up for the mailing list and get the podcast newsletter. Because the podcast newsletter contains links to everything that I discuss in the episode. So any performances, music videos that you want to check out or that I mention, there will be a link in the podcast newsletter. So if you go to thinkingoutsidetheboombox.com, right on the homepage, there's a place where you can put in your email address. And look, I'm not selling your email address to to people. Like, you give me your email address, it literally goes in a list And I send out an email to everyone in that list, like, you're safe with me. You are safe with me. So come on, come get that podcast newsletter. But if you are still, you know, you're still doubtful, but you still want that podcast newsletter, that's fine. I've got something for you. Go to thinkingoutsidetheboombox.com. The newsletter tab contains all of the podcast newsletters. So I'm hooking you up. So without any further ado, let's jump right into the song of the week. So the song of the week for this week, I wanted to choose a song that kind of reflected the conversation that I'm having in the Dig Deeper segment. And the conversation kind of touches on spirituality and hip hop and kind of like the gospel hip hop connection. And honestly, no one has really done that more in the past few years than Chance the Rapper. So the song of the week for this week is from his coloring book mixtape slash album. And the song is How Great, featuring Jay Electronica, Francis and the Lights, and My Cousin Nicole. Not my cousin, but Chance's cousin Nicole, but that's how he has it listed in the features. How Great on its own is a great gospel song. Like, not Chance's version. Like, it's an actual gospel song. Chance was just kind of covering it. But I think his take on it and how the song kind of, I want to say, like, devolves when Jay Electronica comes in, when Chance comes in, like, great verses from both of them, but just the vibe that Chance gives to it, the kind of remix of this, you know, classic gospel song is really dope. And Chance does a good job of kind of combining those two genres, you know, as somebody who's listened to gospel and hip hop for most of his life, like, for sure, he does a great job of merging the two genres. So the song of the week for this week is How Great by Chance the Rapper from Coloring Book. So let's jump into the press play segment. For those who may be new to the podcast, the Press Play segment is where I keep you up to date on all the hip-hop and R&B news that has taken place since the last episode. It's broken up into three parts: the things that you should check out. This is where I talk about the new music videos, songs, performances that I think you really need to see. There's the rumor mill and the announcements. These are announcements from artists, from labels, maybe tour dates, album release dates, things that rumors that may be floating around that might not come to pass, but just in case, I want to make sure you heard it here first. And then the upcoming and recently released albums. These are albums that were released since the last episode or going to be released in the next month, that I want to make sure you have on your radar. So let's jump right in. Things that you should check out. The Soul Train Awards took place last week, or at least aired last week, at the Apollo Theater. Tashina Arnold and Tisha Campbell, co-stars on Martin, longtime friends at this point, hosted the award show for, I want to say, the fourth year straight. And honestly, the Soul Train Awards is a great time. Like, when it's an award show, unlike the Grammys, that doesn't have, like, a troubled history of honoring people of color the way they should, when it's an award show that, you know, is literally just for the culture, there's no anxiety, like, you're not worrying about people getting shunned, like, and it's not to say that these awards aren't important, because when you look at the artists who receive them, you can tell that it's important to them. It's just that, I don't know, I feel like there's less pressure at these non-Grammy award shows, and specifically the Soul Train Awards. It's just a fun time. So there were a number of performances that I think that you absolutely need to see. Silk Sonic started the show and ended the show. They performed Fly As Me to kick off the program, and they ended the program with Smoking Out the Window, their latest hit that's taken off from An Evening with Silk Sonic. So check out that performance. Ari Lennox performed the single that she dropped this year called Pressure. She sounds great as usual. She's an incredible live performer. She came back to join Summer Walker on stage to perform Unloyal, which is Summer Walker's song from her album Still Over It. And let me tell you, that song belongs to Ari Lennox now, because Ari Lennox, like, not that she was trying to, like outshine Summer Walker. It's not that hard to outshine Summer Walker, and this is no shade to her. Summer Walker doesn't like performing in front of people. Like, she has serious social anxiety, and it's very obvious. Like, she's very timid, and she's just kind of out here to sing. She's not moving a lot. Like, she just stands there, and she sings with, like, very little emotion on her face. It's kind of not that great to witness. But as soon as Ari Lennox came out, the energy picked up. She was hitting these nice riffs and runs, and it's just her song now. Like, she's just a better performer than Summer Walker, and it showed. But it was still a great performance, so check that out. Ashanti was honored with the Lady of Soul Award. This was a really, really dope award. And Normani kind of presented the award to her. Then Ashanti came out and did a medley of her hits. And she sounds better than she did in the 2000s. Like, I heard she's re-recording her first album. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to listen to that, because you sound better now than you did back then. I definitely want to hear it. And Ashanti has a ton of hits. It was great to see her honored. She seemed happy, very excited. Maxwell received the Legend Award, presented to him by Jasmine Sullivan. He performed in, look, I've never seen Maxwell perform. I've maybe seen him perform in like an award show, but like not in like the Legend spot, just like he's one of the performers. So he's got like a nice 2 minute set. He performed for like 9 minutes. The man was doing splits. He was doing dance moves. He sounds amazing. Like, I need to go to a Maxwell, like, performance, because he killed it. He killed it. I was very impressed. So definitely check that out. Some new songs. Chance the Rapper and Dionne Warwick finally gave us some payoff to that Twitter thread that they had. So when Dionne Warwick joined Twitter, she was very inquisitive about a lot of things. She asked Chance the Rapper, why do you have the rapper as part of your name? Like, isn't it implied because you rap? And they had a whole Twitter exchange. And now they made a song together called Nothing's Impossible. It's a nice, like, inspiring, Chance, uplifting, bright level song with Dionne Warwick on it. So that's dope. Check that out. Cordae, planning on dropping his From a Bird's Eye View album, I would imagine, first quarter of next year. So he released another single called Sinister. Lil Wayne's in it. The music video is dope. It's got Black Panther vibes. Definitely check it out. Doja Cat released the music video for her song Woman. Tiana Taylor's in it. It's a beautiful, beautiful video. It's got like Egyptian vibes as far as what they're wearing and the setting. Check that out. And then Boz from Dreamville dropped off a music video for his song The Jackie, which features J. Cole and Lil TJ. And the music video was essentially a tour video of J. Cole's The Offseason Tour, which just ended. Boz was one of the, I think, opening artists on it. And I just really love tour videos. I love music videos that are just like, yo, here's some footage from our tour. It's cool when you don't go to a tour to see that behind the scenes information. So shout out to that. Go watch that. Links in the podcast newsletter. Rumor mill and the announcements. Punch from TDE. I believe he is the president. I can't remember his exact title, but in charge of TDE. He started a new rap collective called A Room Full of Mirrors. Let me see. It's comprised of Punch, Daylight, Nick Grant, Lyric Michelle, Ichiban Don, Billy Marie, Darius Law, Early Riser, and producer Hari. I don't know most of those people, but I have heard of some of them. They're dropping off a visual EP. Actually, it should have dropped yesterday, so let me check to see if that actually dropped. But it's called Moneybag, so stay tuned for that. Cardi B became the first female rapper, period, and the first female rapper and the third female artist, period, to receive two diamond certifications. She already got Bodak Yellow certified diamond earlier this year, and now her collab with Maroon 5, Girls Like You, is officially diamond. So the first female rapper to achieve that, third period. Trevor Noah, it was announced, will be hosting the Grammys on January 31st, and it is his second year in a row. So shout out to him for getting that opportunity. Upcoming and recently released albums. Just this past Thursday, Kaz released an EP. Kaz is one of the Dreamville artists, called Fortunate. It's pretty dope. This past Friday, Khaled released his album Scenic Drive. I haven't listened to it yet, but I think it's supposed to be more of an R&B sound than the pop sound that he's kind of fallen into for most of his career, so I'm excited to listen to that. Polo G dropped off Hall of Fame 2.0, 14 new songs on top of what he already released this year with Hall of Fame. And Tierra Whack released an EP. It's a little three-pack, three songs called Rap. And that came out as well on Friday. It was pretty dope. Next Friday on the 10th, Alicia Keys is releasing Keys, her double album. Juice WRLD's posthumous album Fighting Demons will be released. Rick Ross is releasing Richer Than I've Ever Been. And the following Friday, Roddy Ricch announced his second album, studio album, Live Life Fast, will be released. So that is it for the Press Play segment. I'm going to take a short break, and then I'll be right back with some guests and the Dig Deeper.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is Plush Care. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Segment. Welcome back to Thinking Outside the Boombox. It is now time for the Dig Deeper segment. As I mentioned at the top of the episode, this is the first of many segments in the final season of the podcast. This is the outro series. So what I've decided to do is invite guests who have been on the podcast in the past back on one last time. It's the farewell tour. And this time the guests get to choose the topic. So they came up with a topic relating to hip-hop and R&B, and then we're just going to have a candid conversation about whatever the topic is, however short or long that may be. I just wanted to give the guests an opportunity to leave their imprint on the show, just how they have in the past when I've invited them on. So the guests for the first outro episode is my cousin Joe and his wife, Chloe. Welcome. Hey. Welcome back.
What up?
Joe definitely, I think, probably has the most appearances on the podcast. I think that record will probably stand by the time the episode or the series ends. So,
man, I don't know. I don't know if Karen may beat me.
She did get that tournament. Yeah.
Extra during the pandemic.
That's true. I'll run the numbers.
I won't have a congratulations speech just yet because she may give me, especially by the last one. But
yeah,
it's been an honor though for sure seeing her over the years. Definitely.
Welcome back, Chloe.
Hey, Hey, Merrick. It's me.
Back again. And Chloe was responsible for the topic of this week's episode. I was very excited when you sent us the text message with the idea, and I was like, yeah, this the one. This the one.
Thanks.
So what are we talking about today?
Okay, I'm going to go with the topic that I texted him. So it is, Mama, I listen to the beat, not the words. Mm-hmm. The thought behind that is just thinking about the convergence of hip-hop and R&B and spirituality. We'll get into this a little bit later in the podcast, but like I just sort of grew up thinking that those things were at odds, specifically mm-hmm. like R&B and hip-hop, and then, you know, Christian music, those things have just always been on like opposite sides of the spectrum. So my excuse when I was listening to secular music, quote unquote, to my mom was like, Mom, I don't listen to the words, I listen to the beat. It's not about what they're saying, it's about like the rhythm. Mm-hmm. She ain't by it or nothing like that.
Yeah, it never worked.
We all tried it.
Look,
it never worked.
They like, why you download the instrumentals then?
I got caught the heck up.
It's like, dang, that's a good point.
But yes, yeah, the convergence, how those things live together, I think is going to be the topic of the day.
I like that. I thought that was a perfect topic, especially considering the three of us on the episode and how we all grew up listening to gospel music, and then hip-hop and R&B really started to take over as far as what the popular music was, and so that kind of, you know, intervened and interfered with what, you know, people in school were listening to, and so it's going into your wavelength somehow. So I thought that would be a good way to start the conversation, and that's basically with your origin story with Christianity and hip hop. So I guess the question is, when did you first start listening to hip hop? What were you listening to before that? How did hip hop kind of enter into your musical atmosphere?
Got you. I think I can go first with this one. And I believe I started listening to hip hop when Kanye West's first album came out, College Dropout. Mm-hmm. And I just remember like the CD cover, mad clear, what songs really attached to me. And but before that, I mean, I was basically just listening to gospel all the time. On the car rides to the store, school, the church, it'll be 1390. And if you're in Chicago, that's like the main radio station mm-hmm. for gospel and Christian music and talk radio, basically.
Yep.
But yeah, once I locked in on Kanye, he really wasn't rapping about like guns and violence. So I felt sure. like it was a little bit of a safer move. It was a little bit more relatable, too, because in that album, he talked about like, you know, I was the troubled kid, so like he was talking about being a college dropout. Yeah. I was like, I would be a college dropout because that fits what I'm dealing with right now, you know, stuff like that. But that's definitely how it started for me, and I started listening to that on a consistent basis. And I remember my parents like, what are you listening to? And I was like, listen to what he's saying, but like, wait a minute, don't listen to what he's saying.
Right. you kind of had an out with that album because he had Jesus Walks on that album. Yeah,
I had a lot of excuses. I literally, that's the first album, crazy how it happened. That was the first album I really listened to, and I was able to get my parents to listen to on like a random like road trip somewhere, probably like Detroit or something.
Yeah.
I got them to listen to it, and they was like, oh, okay, it's not as bad. He's mm-hmm. cursing, but I get the message and the skits.
Yeah.
They were able to get into the skits, the Jesus walks,
the
sprinkled in there, the little families.
Yeah, wholesome
like,
content.
Yeah, it was a decent first rap album for them to be like, okay, my kids are listening to rap. And for them to be like, it's not gospel, and what that did for them and for us. So, yeah.
Okay. What about you, Chloe?
Okay. So, my introduction to hip hop. So it initially started at like any family function I went to. So, at home, it was strictly gospel. All gospel all the time. And I would only hear secular music at like family barbecues or family functions. And I feel like I have this distinct memory of like hearing Chris Brown run it at like a cousin's birthday party and wishing I could listen to it again. But I had to
what was that tune?
I had to wait 3 weeks to hear it again because that was one of the next functions. And I just replayed it in my head when I come back. That's what held me through. But no, I think I more regularly start listening to things other than Christian music around like 4th and 5th grade when I was like a latchkey kid and my sister went to high school, and so like my mom would leave for work, so I would have that small window where they had the music videos in the morning and then I had that small window before she got home in the evening.
106
when I got
apart,
home in the evening, yes, and 106 apart. And so that's how I kept current, bro.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard her keys jingling, I go back to channel 11, cyber chase, it would be a bad problem.
Be Clifford on the TV.
Yeah, I do remember cyber chase.
That was my cover. I had BET last little So yeah, I think around like 4th and 5th grade, I started to like experiment a little bit more and like be able to keep up on like what's current music and stuff like that. And it was a whole different world. It was a whole different world.
Facts.
So yeah. Yeah.
Okay. My experience is kind of like a combination of the both of you. I had to experience all non-gospel music outside the house because you all know we got a strict Christian grandmother too.
Yeah,
not even
yeah.
just like my parents, like grandma. Like she wasn't going for none of that. It was 1390 on the radio.
Man.
We didn't have cable, so I couldn't really experience like BET or nothing like that. So that made it a lot easier for it to be none but gospel. So for me, it probably started 7th grade, I think. So that was probably like 2003, 2004. Mix CDs were big back then. So everybody was like downloading music off of CDs and
blank
off of
CDs,
stuff. And like, yeah. And so I got a mix CD from a friend in 7th grade, and they had a bunch of songs on there. I remember it was like, this was a terrible mix CD from the variation of the songs on it, but I remember it had Some Cut on it. That song that had the bed squeaks as the beat.
Oh,
like that song.
Yeah.
That song was on there. I remember Run It by Chris Brown was on there.
Oh.
There was a Bone Thugs song on there. Like I can remember a few of the songs that was on there. So that was like one of the first albums. I'm pretty sure I Believe I Can Fly by R. Kelly was on there, but so I started to hear music like that through like just going to school and classmates was bringing it in. When else? My godmother, who would like pick me up from elementary school and like just like keep me until my grandma picked me up from there, she had cable, so I definitely was watching BET over there because she wasn't really like monitoring what
I
was watching.
Name, but I'm shocked.
Because she wasn't like really monitoring what I was watching. She would just like, you know, I would go in the den and then she would be chilling somewhere else. So I would throw on 106 in Park because it was after school all the time. So that's how I started to hear more of that. When I went to Texas to visit family out there, they was listening to secular music all the time. So I remember I heard Confessions by Usher, The Diary of Alicia Keys, Speaker Box, The Love Below. I experienced all of those albums when I was in Texas. Like I was just like, yo, what's these albums? Can I listen to them? It was like, yeah. I was like, bet. And that's how I listened to those albums. So it was kind of the same thing. It was like I wasn't really allowed to listen to it, you know, at home, but I like knew about it because like, and we'll talk about this, like hip hop's and R&B's influence was kind of like making its way like all over the place. So no matter what you listen to, you were going to know about hip hop and R&B if you were like, especially a young person who's like taking in information from everywhere. So I guess that led into my next question, which was, what do you think drew you to hip hop? So we know like when you started listening to it, but what was it about hip hop and R&B? Because it doesn't have to be specifically hip hop. What do you think it was about the genres that kind of like drew you in? You was like, this is something I want to be listening to, even though I don't think I'm supposed to be listening to it.
I think the question contains the answer. I wasn't supposed to be listening to it. I was really motivated to listen to it.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, I also like music was a really big part of like the social scene when I was growing up. I just never knew what they were talking about. I never could relate. So there was just a certain
type of like social isolation that just existed, because I didn't know it. And the music I listened to or maybe got excited about it because I was praise dancing to it, they weren't into it. So I think when you're younger, right, like you ain't talking about where you're going out to, you're not talking about like, you know, it's a very set limit of topics that help you connect to others. And mm-hmm. It was just, I wasn't able to connect to people. So I think that's also what drew me in, is like, I feel more connected to people also. Like, what's this thing that my mama said I can't do? Like, what mm-hmm. what's it about? I think my sister also was like very, she had the same rules, but she approached differently. So she always sort of knew what was up with it. So I think also was some of the like little sister, like trying to be like her and see what she was listening to and what she found interesting and stuff like that. So yeah, I think that was the draw. Just okay. Like, what's happening in the world out here?
Yeah. That's real. I think the being left out aspect mm-hmm. of it is like humongous. Mm-hmm. For me, from like a guy's perspective, I think it was like I wore uniforms a lot mm-hmm. in grammar school. And so on days, like I think like every like first Friday, or it was some mm-hmm. consistent basis where you can wear something that wasn't uniform. And hip hop made a huge like mark with fashion,
yeah,
like with jerseys, right?
Yep.
And so I'm like, oh, like people was really talking about, like, this is about to sound crazy, like what Nelly wore in his music video, what I mean? What Bow Wow and Chris Brown was wearing in their music video, mm-hmm. and people would try to wear the wristbands and the headbands to that, you know, that non-uniform day.
Yeah.
And so it's not only, of course, it was just like, okay, I can listen to music to people that's talking like me, mm-hmm. people that like look cool, what I mean? Because you know, you love God and you love Christian music in a way. It does still have a special place in my heart. But, mm-hmm. like, I didn't talk like that at sixth grade and under or whatever. Like, and I didn't see myself like, I want to be just like that when I get older. Right. But I was looking at, like, Bow Wow or, mm-hmm. Lil Wayne and be like, I want to look like that when I'm 22. You know what I mean? So it was, like, the fashion, how they were talking. Uh-huh. You know, how they were incorporated into, like, sports as well. So, I was, like, being in sports, like, a lot of athletes hung around the artists. Mm-hmm. And they were incorporated. I just remember vividly them being incorporated into, like, All-Star Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Real heavy, like, because I didn't even realize until I was, like, in college that All-Star Weekend was, like, Valentine's Day weekend all the time. Because I used to look forward to it for, like, man, it's All-Star Weekend.
Yeah.
And then I was like, wait, I'm missing an All-Star game because I got to go on a date. Like, you know what I mean? So I used to always look forward to All-Star Weekend based on what people were dressing like.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we do on that next week was just, like, we're trying to mimic the moves from the contest, dunk contest, and stuff like that. And then we looking at, all right, what are we going to wear? We going to wear this jersey, gonna get this jersey, and so that's how it became, like, I gotta keep it. Was like a magnet, like I was like, I gotta stay current, so
I'm with you. I definitely convinced my grandma to buy some like knockoff Vocal like, shirts back in the day, because it was like, yo, Vocal, that's what's hot. Yeah, was wearing Vocal, you see it in the song, Vocal tank top, all this,
I got some fake Sean John, like, bro. Man. I definitely did.
So yeah, that was definitely. I think I agree with all of that. I think it was just everywhere, and like you go to a skate event, like you go to the rink, they playing hip hop, they playing like some pop like R&B. You go to like a sleepover or some friend's house, they not playing gospel music. Like most of because specifically with our household, like because the household was so strict as far as like gospel,
mm-hmm.
like no matter like who else I was hanging out with, it was gonna be like a more lenient household. So absolutely. Like the music was just, it was there. So I was like, yo, this music is tight. Like it was like, yeah, they cursing, but like, I mean, whatever.
All right.
Like the beat is dope. Like, the lyrics is tight. Yeah. And like, especially with Kanye being from Chicago, mm-hmm. he was one of the first artists that I like gravitated towards. And his music wasn't as like I mentioned this in the Hip Hop History Month series that just ended, but like gangster rap and like street rap was really taking over the charts and hip hop in general around the time that like we started listening to hip hop and R&B. So I could see why, like, parents would be like, no, you're not listening to hip-hop. Because hip-hop at the time was, like, talking about, like, 50 Cent or, like, N.W.A. and, like, you know, the music that they were doing. That might be a little early. But, like, 50 Cent and, like, you know, T.I. and just, like, you know, artists that's pushing a narrative that isn't something that parents necessarily want their kids to be listened to all the time. But because hip-hop was kind of spreading out to so many places and the style started to change, like, I think the hip-hop that they associated with hip-hop was not necessarily what we were listening to. I mean, we were listening to 50 Cent, too.
Right. But it wasn't.
But, like, Kanye wasn't really out here talking about street stuff. Like,
yeah, no, you know.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What reasons in particular did, like, your respective parents or guardians give you for not letting you listen to secular music?
That's a good question.
If that conversation happened, that is presumably, you know, that, like, you asked, but
like, what reasons did they give to not listen?
Yeah, like, why not?
I'm pretty sure I asked, but, like, I feel like I always, I don't know if I ever got a straight answer. It's probably more like a because I said so type of situation. But I do feel like I remember, like, hearing that, like, oh, that's not godly. They talking about, like, ungodly things on there. So, yeah, my grandma, I feel like I remember her saying this a lot when I was younger, that she was always saying, like, you are what you listen to. So she was, I remember so many times where she was like, if you listen to stuff like that, you're gonna start, like emulating what you're listening to. And, like, she would even say stuff like, don't, like, repeat a lyric that's, like, not true. So, like, if you repeat a lyric about, like I don't know, like, somebody dying or something, like, don't say that because you talking about, like, it was stuff like that. And so that stuff sticks to me even to this day, where it was conversations like that where she's had. And so, yeah, I guess it was more for her to me, it was just like, this is ungodly, don't be listening to any of that stuff, just listen to gospel. What about you?
Yeah, I think it was pretty much the same thing. He just said something that my mom would say, and which makes sense because he was, they were raised by the same person.
So
my mom would say things like, you know, don't repeat something that doesn't relate to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's so funny because now I tell my mom that, like, don't throw up anything you don't know what it means. She'd be like, what does this mean? And say, I'm like, don't do that. Don't throw up no gay side. You see somebody do it on TV, ask me first. You know,
don't
do that in public, you know. But, yeah, she would say that. And I remember she said that to actually a Kirk Franklin song. And we'll get into that later. But, like, the Kirk Franklin song you said was, like, deadbeat dad wasn't there or something like that. And I remember singing a Kirk Franklin song, and she was like, your father is here. Don't say that. And I was just like,
that line.
I was just like, ooh.
I'm
finally rapping some Christian music.
You want to stop me?
You gonna choose now to reprimand me? You know what I mean? So, she took that across the entire board. Like, don't rap about, like, or, you know, I forgot. I may be saying the Kirk Franklin line wrong, but it said something about his dad not being there in his life. And I said it, and I was singing it just in my own zone.
Yeah.
She was like, no, you're not gonna say that in this household. You know, I was like, golly, that is a trap. You know, so. And I get it. I get it. In that regard, I was like, she made me apologize to my dad. I was just like, just a lie. Yeah, so, but, you know, it could have been some other stuff going on from a parent's perspective.
Right.
I didn't fully understand at that time. But yeah, so, but yeah, that's. Did you have a specific excuse that we didn't name that your mom gave you?
No, it sounded pretty similar. I think just sort of like the. Operating in the belief that everything is spiritual, right?
Yeah.
Like, nothing is just like happenstance. Everything you say matters, everything you listen to matters, everything you do matters.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you got that weight on it, music is not just like a casual thing. So it was very much like guarding your ears and guarding your heart and stuff like that. Like, that's how it was phrased to me. It's just like, you have to be really protective of your spirit, and like, you know, you treat sort of the things you listen to and the thing like as what you sort of eat, right? And if you're like eating only a narrative of like violence, you're eating only a narrative of hypersexuality, what else would you expect to come from you? So I think to this day, that like makes a lot of sense to me, and I sort of think about it in a different way, but it does make sense to me. I don't believe I don't believe that I'm unaffected by what I listen to. Mm-hmm. I do not operate in that belief. I understand that I'm affected by what I listen to. But yeah, it was very much that of just like, and my mama being like, you gotta be on a really strict diet, you know, like you gotta be really protective of what you put into your, what you're sort of taking in, what sort of sits in your mind, mm-hmm. what sort of rests there, what sort of narratives you feeding yourself about life, about sexuality, about men, about women, about all of that. Like, it was just very much like, be super protective of it, because, you know, the devil is consistently on a mission to pollute you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the message to me was, you got to be super hyper vigilant, and it made music a little less fun. Yeah, in that way.
That's real.
Not me. I was,
yeah, I probably wasn't
anti rules. Anti.
Yeah, I probably wasn't taking those lessons as closely to heart as I should have.
Yeah,
But I do remember. It's funny because these type of lessons like definitely still affect me, because this is a song, Big Sean and Lil Wayne's in it. It's called Deep. It's mm-hmm. from his mm-hmm. Dark Sky Paradise album.
Yeah.
And in Lil Wayne's verse, which is a dope verse, one of his hardest verses, I love that verse.
Uh-huh.
He says like God a couple of times, but I forget how he uses it. But he says God a couple of times, and he says something about like I died or something like that. And to this day, when I rap along to his lyric, I like pause when he said died, when he says died, and I pause when he says God. Like, I just like rap the lyrics without that in there, because I feel like, what my grandma always saying about, like, yeah, you don't want to like say no lyrics that like you don't want to actually happen. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna say die, because I'm not gonna say die. It's like he using God in the wrong way, so I'm not gonna say that. But
sounds
it's like
a lowercase G situation over here.
Right. And it's like,
yeah.
It's like I listen to so much like hip hop and R&B where a lot of that doesn't come to play, but it's certain songs where sometimes those lessons would just be like, nah, you ain't gonna say that.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird that way, but
that's real.
Okay, that's interesting. I wanted to talk about, I guess, what kind of created the dichotomy with Christianity and hip hop in the first place, because I do agree there is definitely a lack of spirituality in hip hop, at least historically. I think there are artists now who are, you know, being better about like being open about their religion and their mm-hmm. spirituality and their music. Mm-hmm. But like historically, hip hop has featured a lot of specifically anti-Christian sentiments, because it's not even just about like religion. Because mm-hmm. if you look at like Wu-Tang Clan, mm-hmm. Rakim, all mm-hmm. of those like 5%er like rappers,
yeah,
like that's a religion. Like the Nation of Islam and like all of that, that's a religion.
Jay Electra, he's really big on that too.
Yeah,
I'll add him in that group too.
Yeah, and like you think about that, and it's like, okay, so
nah, she good.
there is a dog in the building, so she occasionally just, she's got some opinions she might share with you all. So I need you all to be patient. But like, so I was thinking about that today. I was like, well, it's not just like anti like religion, because we've allowed like Wu-Tang and all of them to like talk about their beliefs mm-hmm. in the Nation of Islam teachings in music, and nobody like batting an eye. So it's like, is the question that is anti-Christianity and not like anti-religion? Because like the beliefs of the 5%ers is like pretty much kind of anti-Christian, like the Nation of Islam and all of that is a whole different thing. And so I guess like, why do you think that hip-hop fans and a lot of the artists tend to lean away from being religious in their music? Like, what do you think is the reason for that? Do you think it's just because religion isn't popular when you're... Like, hip-hop was born out of, one, having fun, but two, artists having a space to talk about what's going on in their lives. And, like, religion is a part of a lot of people's lives, but why isn't that, like, talked about in music? You know what I mean?
I think it could be a mixture of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I think it could be the labels mm-hmm. not pushing that
mm-hmm.
narrative. I think it could be the labels not pushing that narrative, and the artists not having the type of clout necessary to be like, no, I want to rap about this.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, when you new to a label, you a rookie, you're not going to be able to have that type of clout.
Uh-huh.
And you're not independent. I think it's like a lot of people who didn't come off a certain way, may have had like church hurt growing up, had bad experiences, and honestly, the church really talked down on hip hop when hip hop was really growing.
Oh yeah.
And so it could be a thing of like, okay, you know, screw you guys. This is how I'm going to choose to express my, this is like how my artistic expression, this is how I'm going to choose to use that. And so, because, you know, when you go to a lot of these award shows, the first thing a lot of them say is, you know, I want to thank God. Yeah. I want to thank my mama, you know. And so, you know, it's there. But they also know what sells too, and I think that's one of the more important things. Yep. It's just like it's a reason why a lot of these artists they try to. There have been a lot of artists that have tried to start it out in hip hop, tried to make a gospel album, even as of recent. Right, we can name people like R. Kelly, Snoop Dogg, DMX. Yep. A lot of them, Kanye, a lot of them, bro. Mace, I could keep going, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's the reason why a lot of them came back. Themselves, not the same, you know? True. A lot of these Christian rappers or gospel rappers, they aren't bad at all. But we know, like, the hip-hop is the standard when it comes to that type of flow, rhythm and flow. So I think that one of the more important reasons is because hip hop sells better. And Wu-Tang specifically, they don't get me wrong, like they did not shy away. You know, I watched the documentaries and stuff like that from talking about their religious backgrounds, but like it pales in comparison how much they talked about their everyday life in their raps, which doesn't represent like we wasn't knocking on doors or you know trying to talk to people. Like they was talking about how they were selling drugs, even though they still have these empowering names and stuff like that. So I think that's why the money is the biggest thing, and then also it could be some church hurt, it could be what's popular, but I'm sure I'm missing out on a lot of others.
No, I agree with that. You know? I agree with that.
Man, that's a great question, though. I mean, I agree with a lot of what Joseph said in terms of just, like, all of the money and stuff behind it. But, I mean, I also think that just, like, one, as he mentioned, there's been sort of, like, this church versus hip-hop and, like, the messages that are pushed, right? So you have the church pushing a very, you know, anti-sex before marriage, anti-substance use message. And then you got hip-hop, which is just, like, the parallel of, like, I'm drunk in this club and I'm finna take down three at once. like that one could literally print out lyrics to a gospel song and lyrics to a hip-hop song, and you will find just, like, the opposite story. So I think for a very long time that those things were set up as just, like, opposite to one another, which is why I think that it was so easy in each of our respective homes for our parents to be like, no, like you cannot listen to it because there is no gray area. Like, and then when you find a song or you find an artist who like acknowledges Jesus as well as like the worldly desire to, you know, get drunk and have sex and stuff like that. That's why it's a much better case. But I don't know where I'm really going with this, but I do want to say I have actually enjoyed the era of watching historically secular artists make gospel music. And I think I'm just personally on my own spiritual journey of God in the gray area. That's just been something he's really been like dealing with me about. I've only understood him as an enforcer of the black and white, and he's really been revealing himself to me in this gray, right? And that like humans are complex, and like why can't Snoop Dogg, right? Like he could have spent his whole life talking about, you know, dropping like style,
sexual seduction.
Right, but you know, like why can't he also give glory to God, right? And like, why can't we enjoy him giving glory to God, right? Like, even DMX, you know, like RIP, right?
Rest
like,
in peace,
rest when peace. He passed, I heard so many stories about people being like, yeah, this man stopped in the street and prayed for me. Yeah. Like, he was on some real ministry.
Like, he had 20 women coming to his hotel room, and they thought it was gonna be a party in there. They came in, they were doing Bible class.
Yes, I actually wrote that down because, DMX is one of the rappers who definitely like opposed the norms, and that every single one of his albums he had a prayer the album.
Yep.
Right.
Like he went to jail like 30 times in his life, and like like literally I looked it up. It was like each one I was like, woo, quite the life. But like he was a born again Christian. Yeah. He was like he wanted to be an ordained pastor. Mm-hmm. Like I heard about the Bible study story, and so it was like, and he was one of the most successful rappers, like, bro, from a number standpoint and just, like, popularity. Mm-hmm. And then, so I think there's also a conversation about, like, when you get to a certain level, you can just kind of do whatever you want in your music. But I think that's a really good point, because I hadn't thought about that. Like, they were just, Christianity and hip-hop, just, like, fundamentally are just, like, opposite each other. Like, everything that hip-hop kind of stood for when it was on its rise, and the reasons that it got kind of political because the government was like, nah, hip-hop's too sexual. Mm-hmm. It's too violent. Like, this is, the kids are listening to this. We can't have none of that. That's why the parental advisory sticker became a thing, because, like, parents started to get upset, and it became a whole political movement. And then, boom, they stuck that sticker on every album that was too vulgar, too explicit. And so, like, everything that hip-hop was is also the same things that, you know, church was teaching you not to do. It's like, don't do drugs. Don't be having a lot of sex. Don't be violent. It was like they were literally on opposite sides of the coin. So that's a good point. Like, they were just, from the jump, they just were set up to be this far apart from each other.
And they don't have to be.
Right. You know? Exactly.
They don't have to be.
Mm.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I like that. Let me see what else I talked about. Since we started talking about the gray area, who were some of the artists who you say are, like, historically secular that started making gospel music that you start to get into? Like, so who were some of those artists in the gray area that you started to appreciate?
You know, Kanye, Weezy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, two different people.
I was American. I was referring to Kanye West. I thought I was going to razzle dazzle.
You figure it out.
They know what I'm talking about. I'm here. Yeah, most definitely Kanye West. I think he's the most notable for me. And I really like when he started Sunday Service. Mm-hmm. I really, really like those. I have a list. Mm-hmm. So On God by him, Use This Gospel, I think we're off of one of
that was the last one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really, Donda, really, really, really like those. And also, you know, I want to say, I don't know, have you heard of Tobe?
The Wigway.
Yes. So, I call him gray, but I consider him gospel, but like, could I go in my church and play him? Probably not. They'll probably have a problem with him, but he is real talk gospel.
Yeah.
Like, I will fight you and pray for you after. Yeah. Like, so I think those are definitely some of the songs that I think of off the top of my head that I'm like, this occupied a gray area where it is a very real life image of what it looks like to walk with God. Like, you know, like, especially with like Toby, like, mm-hmm. like I absolutely love and adore God, but I have had people that I have lost to gun violence. Like, there is this trauma that exists in my life. If you run up on my wife, you gonna get whatever. He always talks about how good his wife looks to him, like stuff like that. It's a very realistic and like messy and imperfect sort of narrative, which is different than I think of, which is different than what I think of, like, when you think of like typical gospel music, because gospel music is about God and God is perfect. And so it's just sort of like, in essence, an antithesis, to that, because yes, it's him talking about his life and his relationship with God. It's not him talking about a perfect God. So it's just a little less clean. And I really enjoy that. I enjoy that about it. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And wasn't he the one that made that song that was, I forget the exact
try
name.
Jesus,
try Jesus,
yeah, don't try me, yeah. Don't try
I
me.
Got hands,
yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah.
So like that is a good, I think that's a good example of, I feel like if I heard something like that growing up, mm-hmm. I would be a little bit more comfortable with like, I'll try this person out because it's just a more realistic depiction, and mm-hmm. I think that's something that real life practice that, you know, we trying to do, excuse me, like at our church is just like, you know, looking like a Christian doesn't have to look like what we were raised. Like, you don't have to wear a 3-piece suit to go to church every week,
uh-huh.
or a suit period, you know what I mean? To still pray for somebody. And it doesn't have to look like this box out. Like, you know, if you look at me with a hoodie and you look at this person with a suit, you're going to assume that, all right, that's the minister, or that's the person I'm going to go to pray for me, or that's the person that knows God more than the other person. I think that this topic of the gray area that we're talking about is real important for people to really understand. Like, somebody can teach you about God, and it doesn't have to look like a certain way, or it doesn't have to sound a certain way. And so she named Kanye Toby. I thought it was Toby, but it's Tobey. But I also think that Chance, I know I'm saying, you may say it the better way. I'm just saying, I thought it was a way. She could have said it the right way. But,
No. Omar really tried to keep a straight face. He...
But I think that Chance really used that as well, like, of using gospel. You could tell from the people, based on what they sample, who they have as features.
Yeah,
you could tell that they dibble dabbled in or they were raised in a church in a way. I also think that even to talk about, we could talk about, like, the gray area between gospel artists that went to hip-hop and vice versa, because I feel like Mary Mary did features with people. Kirk Franklin is big doing features with hip-hop artists. There's somebody else, I think Morton.
P.J. Morton.
Yeah, P.J. Morton. Like, his dad is a known pastor, bishop.
Yep.
Like,
I remember seeing Bishop Paul Morton on, like, gospel songs.
Bro.
And I didn't even put the two together when P.J. Morton started to get big. And I was like, oh, this dude, being successful in both genres.
Everywhere.
He got a Grammy in R&B and in gospel.
Yeah. Like, so it's just like, I feel like the gray area, like, goes both ways in that. And I think that that's what made, like, if you really want to talk about what made Kirk Franklin mainstream, a household name, is because of that crossover.
Yep.
He was making gospel songs with hip-hop beats.
Yep.
And when he did gospel songs, you look at his music videos, he over here doing the nay-nay.
Yeah.
Like, he's doing the dances that are popular at that time and making it gospel and making it cool and making it like he ain't scared to embarrass himself.
Yeah.
He's not scared to dance, sweat, do what's hip, you know, say whatever. And I think that is what, see, if you really look at what Kirk Franklin is doing outside of that, it's nothing crazy. He can't sing.
Mm-hmm.
He can't, you know what I mean? He's not the tallest. He don't have the best voice.
Yeah. I mean, he's the DJ Khaled of the gospel world.
He is the DJ Khaled, bro. He is the DJ Khaled, but he did what he did very well.
Oh, yeah.
Since, for like 30 years, bro. Like, he's been doing it for a very long time. And so I think that's what made him, he will still pack out a church or any type of venue because, and it will still be mostly young people because he could still touch down and know what we want to listen to and how we want to listen to it in a non-judgmental type of way. Mm-hmm. You know, he's still open about, like, I'm not perfect, or I still cuss out my kid, obviously.
Yeah, we started watching this series on Hulu/OWN called Black Love. I actually recommend it if y'all haven't seen it.
Gotcha.
It's basically a couple, a married couple, who interviews other couples, like mostly famous couples.
Gotcha.
So each season is just like, each episode has a topic. Like, one might be divorce, one might be like how you all handle arguments. And it's just like the whole episode is just like cut together these interviews with, like, I'm trying to think of some celebrities who was on there. You know, Kevin on Stage, the comedian,
Kevin
him
on
and
stage.
His wife was on there. Oh, Kirk nice. Franklin and his wife was on there.
Nice.
Tia Mowry from Sister Sister and her husband was on there. Bunch of famous, like, couples. And so Kirk Franklin was on there with his wife and they was talking about, like, their origin story and how they met. And he was talking about how he disciplines his kids, stuff like that. And so that's why I brought to mind. But yeah, I actually wrote Kanye and Kirk Franklin down for sure when it comes to opposing the norms, because I think both of them were a big reason as to why I think hip hop really started to get ingrained, because I was allowed to listen to Kirk Franklin. He was a gospel artist.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the main artists I listened to back when I was listening to gospel. But, like, it was like listening to hip hop and gospel at the same time, because like, it sounded like hip hop, but he was, like, talking about Jesus, and it was this nice mix that also made it easier to kind of like ease in the more secular music, like when it comes to the parents, because it was like, oh yeah, this is Kirk Franklin. Yeah, he got a little baby on it, but you know,
right? He's got a little baby song this year with Lil Baby. You're like, what? You know what I mean? Yeah.
And then Kanye with Jesus Walks and how he was talking about his spirituality and his music. Mm-hmm. Like Jesus Walks was an easy way for a lot of people to start listening to Kanye because mm-hmm. it was like, oh yeah, I'm just listening to this song by Kanye. Don't worry about who he is, but like he's right. talking about Jesus. Like,
Jesus Walks.
Don't you like this song?
And they played it on 1390. They exactly. kind of they bleeped out a couple spots, that's the but thing. They played it on 1390 too. And I was like, okay.
So then it was like, oh yeah, you've heard this song. It's on 1390. Right. Don't worry about the next song, New Workout Plan.
Right. literally, that's what the next song.
It does the reverse, as you say, right? Like, so it's a nice little segue into like rap, but it's also a nice little segue into like Christianity as well, which is why I enjoy it, right? It's just like it has dual purposes. While you also are getting exposed to like hip hop and him and all that comes with Kanye West, that's a lot that comes with Kanye West. Right. But you also are like, that song is all about the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. It's explicitly about the mercy of God. It's talking about crooked pastors. It's talking about prostitution. Uh-huh. It is explicitly about the mercy of God. And I'm like, that is such an important message, right? And like, and if you get too distracted by who made it and how it's getting done and what he doing outside of what he's doing in that booth, right? Like, you know, you can sort of get caught up in the whirlwind of that. But I'm just like, that is a beautiful message. Like, people should hear that song, right?
Absolutely.
Like, if anything, to just learn about how merciful God has been to him, you know, maybe Kanye personally, but also just like, you know, he's a God that reaches you in any situation. So I think as you say, you put it perfectly, like, it opens the door for hip hop, but it also opens the door for like, well, who's this God guy?
Yeah,
and,
right.
And,
yeah.
And why does he walk with me?
Uh-huh.
What happened on the third day?
Okay, I had a couple more things that I wanted to mention, and then I have a final question. But before the question, I want to open it up to anything you all want to talk about. But I didn't want to leave R&B out of the conversation, because I do feel like when it comes to like artists who were doing primarily gospel that switched it up, like Aretha Franklin is one of the like main, mm-hmm. like you kind of have to mention her because she grew up as a gospel singer, like singing since she was little. And then she heard about Sam Cooke and she was like, I kind of want to do pop music like Sam Cooke. So she signed with Columbia, started doing pop music. But Columbia didn't really know what to do with the gospel parts of her. So they kind of like stamped it out and was like, yeah, we're not going to do any songs that, you know, soulful like that. Mm-hmm. And like 6 years later, I think she left Columbia and went to Atlantic. And Atlantic was like, nah, we're not getting rid of that. We want you like be soulful. Like we want to embrace that. And then she made some of the biggest hits of her career. Like she made Respect when she was on that label, Say a Little Prayer, Natural Woman, like a lot of the songs where she's at her most soulful. And then she continued to see success in gospel as well. She put out that Amazing Grace album in 1972. It's one of the best-selling gospel albums ever. It went double platinum. I've never heard of a gospel album going double platinum.
It did.
Like it's crazy.
And double platinum is like
Two million units sold. And you know, back then it's like actual
hard copies.
Yeah. Like 2 million people bought bought a CD. Then she was winning Grammys for gospel in 2000. Actually, her and Mary J. Blige had a gospel song called Never Break the Faith or something like that. And they won a Grammy for it. So like she was able to like toe the line between both very well. She never lost any of her like identity when it comes to like her spirituality and the gospel portion of it. But she was also able to break into, you know, an emerging R&B market and like kind of shape what that was. So I felt that I had to mention her. And then you mentioned Chance earlier, and I wanted to bring up Kendrick because I feel like there's a dichotomy between the two. Chance released Coloring Book, which is an outwardly spiritual album. Even before Coloring Book, Chance himself was a spiritual person who's not shy about talking about the things that he cares about, whether that be Jesus or his wife. It was just that Coloring Book was different in that he transitioned that openness to his music. And the album before, Acid Rap, you know, was different. And in the Acid Rap days, everybody loved Chance. It was like, oh, he's talking about drugs. And like,
that was lit though.
I mean, it was great. It was a great album. But as soon as he, you know, started being more open about his spirituality, he's talking about blessings and he's got Kirk Franklin and choirs, then everybody's, I do still think that Coloring Book is accepted, you know, in the grand scheme of things, like pretty highly. But there was a big shift where people were like, oh, after Acid Rap, I ain't really stopped messing with Chance. And I was like, mm-hmm. what changed except that he started like talking about Jesus in his music?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, there wasn't that same energy with Kendrick, because Kendrick, like, if you look at To Pimp a Butterfly, even all honestly, everything he's put out, he's always been spiritual. He's always talked about God. It's kind of ramped up a little with To Pimp a Butterfly and then the Damn album.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he quotes the Bible. He raps about God.
He does.
His music is a little bit more spiritually intellectual than Chance is. Like, he's got, like... like some serious deep thoughts that he's trying to get off that I don't think Chance Lucy, is necessarily.
Lucy was like, I didn't even know Lucy was supposed to be Lucifer until I heard this podcast and you said that. I was just like, oh, dang, okay. Yeah. Well, Lucy, interesting. I've never heard somebody refer to the devil as a woman.
Right, right.
And have a whole nother level to it. Yeah,
exactly.
That's an interesting perspective.
So Kendrick's doing stuff like that and he's kind of talking about the same things, but he's kind of getting at it in a different way. He's taking a different route to get there, but he's still talking about the same things, but nobody really had any flack for Kendrick. So I'm curious, like, what do you think was the difference between Chance and Kendrick with the public? Could it be as simple as Kendrick was a better artist than Chance, so they were willing to give Kendrick more leeway, or is it something else? Like, what are your thoughts on why Chance and Kendrick, you know, both talk about God in their music, but one of them kind of his career kind of changed over it compared to the other?
You go first. You better quit.
I think we always laugh about the Kendrick conversation because he is like, he does take highly intelligent approaches
mm-hmm.
to his songs and his art period.
Yeah.
And so I'm including like music videos, mm-hmm. you know, all that. Like, that's why I just say art. And I think that the reason why I never even considered it to be on a spiritual level until you just said it is because it's like well hidden behind mm-hmm. the production and the lyrics, where you really don't know. I really didn't know he was talking about the devil
mm-hmm.
until you said it and listening to this podcast. You know what I mean? So. I think it's just a way in which it's being portrayed and being pushed out and delivered is the biggest difference. And he's not doing it over gospel instrumentals or sampling gospel music.
True.
And so it's a little bit hidden. But I think, to me, I'll say that's the mm-hmm. biggest difference. I couldn't tell you what people are really thinking of it as, because he also has a lot of empowering music too, like mm-hmm. DNA and the Black and the Berry, like, it's a lot of thought-provoking things that it's so much thought-provoking that you're like, oh, and it's spiritual. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you try to understand what he's saying when he's saying, like, the Black and the Berry. And, you know, you really listen to the lyrics and then you'd be like, dang, that was deep. Talking about, like, yeah, I'm like Black Lives Matter, but I'll kill somebody black if you mess with my people.
Right.
And then you'd be like, oh, shoot, this whole album is talking about something. Yeah. Like the devil and how it's incorporated into like all these things, and you'd be like, man, but I'm still focused on like all these we gonna be all right, and that could have he could have easily threw in God a lot more in that track, and it still would have been had the same type of meaning, and it still would have been just as uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the thing about Chance, like, he's a little bit slower down. It's a little bit easier, like more digestible
mm-hmm.
to understand exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah,
like. You know, the deepest thing about him is like, you know, was he really talking about drugs on Same Drugs? You know that song?
Yeah.
He was like, I wasn't talking about drugs, guys, on Twitter or whatever. And I'm like, dude, what was you talking about? You know, so, but like, people be having whole think pieces on Kendrick's one song or an album. So like, nobody's doing that about Chance. So I think that it was a lot easier to see like, okay, Chance, we know him as his future mayor type of guy whose mm-hmm. dad is in politics, and we know he has a spiritual background, and he's not having hard hitting lyrics where it's harder to get. And I think that's why those two, it can look like we let Kendrick pass, we're like, man, but Kendrick's IQ is like through the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like,
he threw a lot more at you to kind of like, even if it's not meant to distract you, like there's a lot more that can distract you from what he's saying in his music. That makes
absolutely sense. And then you look at the music video and I'm like, I didn't even know he was going down that path with this song until. And so I think that nobody even mentioned him in the same category, like ever. Like literally like ever. And that's no knock on either one of them. I just think that for them to both have like the spiritual background and incorporate into their art, they're still so different. And so that's like my answer on like why Kendrick got this pass.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost like when you in class and somebody has this, like, they ask you like, what's 4 + 4? Well, it's really 4 + 4 because you blah, blah, blah. You're like, and then you just finding the right answer. All right. They said 8 somewhere in there. So like, let's move on to Jessica. You know what I mean? Because it's like, you got the right answer. How you went about it was very complex, but like, you know, where this other person would have just said 8 and left it alone, you know, so.
Makes sense. What about you? What do you think?
You know, America, you know, I have not ever listened to a Kendrick album straight through.
Oh, okay.
Neither have I ever listened to a Chance album straight through.
Okay.
So I, you know, my only thing when you sort of set up, you know, like, what's the difference? My only guess is that if Kendrick has been doing it from the beginning, right, it's just sort of like, okay. Where I think maybe the difference with Chance is if his sort of like early albums, you know, as you say, were like more focused on like different topics like partying and drugs, and then you want to start talking about more spiritual and deep stuff, then like, yeah, you're gonna lose the crowd or the fan base that really likes those type of topics. I think that is just off the top of my head, like, yeah, like what I would guess. But yeah, I think I've probably heard more of Chance's work than I have of Kendrick, and he laughs about Kendrick because like Kendrick goes over my head.
It's so funny how he goes over her head.
In a way that I just sometimes be feeling stupid.
No, it's really funny how I'll be like, man, that verse was so cold, wasn't it? She'd be like,
this is me,
I lost it after the second bar. Like,
he look up at me and be drool coming out.
Honestly,
I don't get it.
He gets everybody like that because I don't ever get Kendrick's music like off the first listen.
Never, bro.
Like, and especially the podcast definitely helps me absorb Kendrick's music. Differently, because not only am I like listening to it, but like when I have an episode where I want to talk about it, I'm listening to everything. So I'm going on Genius and I'm looking at the lyrics to every song. So I get to absorb his music like through listening, but also like reading what he's saying when I'm like doing an episode on it. So I think that helps me understand, because it's like I'm getting multiple listens, but then I'm also getting readings of like the lyrics, so I can like catch something that I might not have heard, and then I'm going back and listening after I've like read it. And so then it kind of like compounds on, and then it like sets your brain up for success. We're like, okay,
yeah,
now I'm gonna go back and listen to it again, and then it's like, oh, okay, I caught that. But yeah, I used to feel the same way about Lupe, like before he went like crazy,
yeah,
like around his Tetsuo and Youth
like
album,
bro,
like when he just started like throwing words at you,
that was what, like 2015, 2014,
yeah, around there.
Crazy lyrics, yeah. He was saying like, and they were so deep, bro.
Yeah,
like, they were so deep, bro.
So Kendrick's got that, but then he's also talking about not just like technically like dope lyrical ability, but also talking about deep like substantial like concepts and like all of that combined. It's like when he drops his album probably next year, it's like, all right, I'm gonna have to sit down and like really absorb it, because it's not like an album like Drake with Certified Lover Boy where you listen to that and you're like, I know exactly what this is about, like, and I'm just going to enjoy it. Like Kendrick is more of like I gotta really, really like listen. Let me get my notepad out for this album.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I see what you mean. I do think it could also just be the difference in the artist. Like Kendrick has a whole team behind him with TDE and like Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, like kind of gave him the cosign before he started, like the whole West Coast really. So he kind of had a system behind him that was set him up where it was like no matter what he talks about, like he was gonna be successful because of how good he is. Chance is independent, and like really for a while only the people in Chicago knew who Chance was.
Yeah.
And then when he kind of broke out with Acid Rap and then Coloring Book, he got a bigger audience. But at that point, like, you know, he was, you know, he didn't have as much behind him when he mm-hmm. you know, started like being super open, that a lot of people just didn't want to listen to Chance for that. And that's, I get true. It everybody comes to music with different things that you want from music.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes music so special, I think, because of how subjective it is. One person can feel one way about a project because they got something else going on with them compared mm-hmm. to somebody else. So it could be just that, like, the traditional listeners of hip-hop aren't really about, like, spiritual stuff.
Yeah.
And so they were pretty opposed to Chance in that way and not Kendrick, because Kendrick's also giving you a lot more. But okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you all have any other topics that you want to talk about? I have one last question, but I wanted to open up first.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm
doing my thing. No. I'm gonna let Chloe go ahead. I think I talked about what I wanted to talk about for this topic specifically.
Okay. So, you know, I'm not gonna be a time hog or anything like that, but I don't know. I think for, you know, sort of thinking about this podcast, even when I sent it to you, it really has had me just trying to reconcile, as you just put it, like what do I come to hip hop for?
Mm-hmm.
What do I come for R&B for? And I think just sort of like over the course of my life, it's meant different things and it's brought me different things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think sort of as an adult, you know, when I'm trying to tap in, when I'm trying to be reflective, it's always going to be gospel.
Mm-hmm.
It's always going to be, oh, sorry.
Oh, you good?
Let's tap. I'm passionate. But I, you know, it's sort of always going to be gospel. And I think, and you know, while I haven't fully reconciled, like, sort of like the good and bad, you know, quote unquote, and maybe I shouldn't, you know, maybe that's what I need to grow out of.
Mm-hmm.
But I can definitely tell within myself that if I am sort of exclusively only listening to hip-hop, and I'm not talking about like Kendrick, I'm not talking about like hip-hop that caused me to be reflective, I'm talking about, and I wrote the songs down, okay, like if I'm exclusively listening to something like Check On It by Beyonce, right, or like Beating Down Your Block by Mona Leo, which is exclusively just about like fighting people and like Check On It,
uh-huh.
it's probably the most substanceless song out there. It's just the same thing. What are you looking like? You like what you see when you come over, check up on it. I think I sort of reconciled within myself that like if I am exclusively listening to music that doesn't have much substance, or you know, is sort of like an escape, then there's something going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
And like, and it's sort of like a signal to myself that like, what are you trying to avoid? Right. Absolutely. So I think that like, again, haven't reconciled all of it, but I think sort of thinking about this podcast, that has been like my takeaway of just like, because there are times where I will exclusively only listen to like R&B and hip hop, and it'll sometimes be stuff I can relate to, like, what? Oh, sorry, babe. It'll you know, it'll be some stuff I can relate to, like a lot of the sensual music now I can relate to, you know, because I'm married and, mm-hmm. and I need to be sensual with my husband. Mm-hmm. I want to be sensual with my husband.
Gosh, bro.
Mom said I can say what I want to say.
I did. Right here.
I think it really has opened a door of like, If I'm only sort of listening to that type of stuff, and I'm not listening to things that reconcile me with my spirituality, if I'm not listening to things that talk to me about repentance and making things right in my relationship, if I'm not listening to the things that sort of push me in that direction, what am I trying to avoid? And so, maybe it's not the black and white of it, but yeah. And there's also, lastly, there's also this scripture It's Psalms 40 and 5, and essentially it's they made a like NLT, but it's essentially like, if I had 10,000 tongues, I still couldn't praise you enough. And so one of the things I reconcile, this is a conversation I would have with my mom, is like, one of the reasons I always feel conflicted is because if the scripture says, if I had 10,000 tongues, like, I still couldn't fully encompass who God is and what he does and his praises and stuff like that, right? Like, and I only have this one tongue, like, isn't the thinking that I should just be using all of my time, right, to like find a way to give God glory? But I also would be lying if I told people that I feel like being spiritual and reflective all of the time.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I don't want to deal with that stuff. And again, like I said, I can tell within myself when I don't want to deal with it, because I will not listen to gospel music, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like, and I also have this weird thing where I can't listen to a gospel song and a secular song right after. I have not even reconciled what that is. It's probably tied up in this, but I feel really conflicted listening to one or the other. So if I am at the gym and I'm listening to secular music, I will skip over every gospel song.
I do the same thing though.
Right.
I'm not in the mood for this right now.
Right, they both represent me and they both are good songs, but like, I just don't be in the mood to be like reflective. And then maybe it's too big of a question to be like, why are you not in the mood? what's going on that you're not in the mood? And so that's just been a current season of mine recently, where it's been a whole lot more hip hop. It's been a whole lot more, let's drink, let's do whatever, let's do that. And I think I've been sort of sitting with myself, like, and I've been telling myself, like, you need to sort of put on a gospel album and just sort of sit and chill for a while. And I'm, you know, and I'm like, I think there's a reason I don't want to do that. But this is a very long-winded way of saying that's how I have conceptualized, like, hip-hop, R&B, and gospel and Christianity, is that I think that hip-hop and R&B provides an escape for me in a lot of ways. It's not necessarily negative. I think it's good to have an escape, but I can't consistently live in a space of escape. Like, at some point, I have to address, you know, the deeper parts of me, and I have to address, like, what I'm feeling and my conflicts and things I've done wrong and things people have done wrong to me. I gotta also acknowledge, like, my mortality, right, which comes up in Christianity a lot. It's all about life and death. Like, I can't live on no cloud of, like, smoking and drinking when I'm listening to Christianity. Like, it is, you are constantly addressing your mortality. You constantly addressing the fact that, like, the present moment is not the only moment that matters, as opposed to, like, rap and R&B is all about living right now in the moment. Do what feels good right now. So I think that, there's a sort of that scripture. So it's a time and a place for everything. And there's a time to embrace your mortality. Is a time to embrace that there's a life after this one, and that, you know, you got to be thinking about those things, and you got to be thinking about what you represent and what you say and what you do. I know I said a lot, but that was my final thought.
Those are all good points, and I definitely relate to that, because there are definitely points, because I pretty much, for the most part, like, if you just consider a week of my music listening, it's like pretty much predominantly hip hop and R&B, but I do just have these moments and these moods where I'm like, nah, I want to listen to some Kirk Franklin, or let me throw on some Donnie McClurk, and it's probably just God talking to me like, you need to be listening to something else right now. That's probably why I get those moods. But like, I'm with you. Like, I'll start listening to gospel music, and then it's like, well, it's just a gospel day now, because I'm not about to just switch
to
Money Bag Yo after I was just listening to Donnie McClurk and talk about falling down. Right. Like, I can't do that. I do think that more recent artists who have kind of combined the gospel, and I'm speaking strictly about Donda with Kanye West, like songs like 24 and Lord, I Need You, I think is the name of it. Those two songs I added to my playlist. And so when a song like that comes on, I have less of a time in like listening to that and then going to another song, because it's kind of like, you know, Kanye's found a way to kind of like merge the two. But in general, I do, like, once I'm in a gospel mode, I'm like, this is where we at until it seems right to like go to something else. But I definitely understand what you mean. For me personally, I feel like I connect to music a lot emotionally, and I'm usually drawn more to the artists that have like something important to say. Like I do love like turning up with artists like Future and Moneybagg Yo, and occasionally Pooh Shiesty, but not often. Like I do enjoy that because I do think there is a time to just like listen to music to have fun. But on a regular day, I'm probably listening to like artists who you know have something to say, and I think that's because I like to relate through music, and I can relate more to somebody who's like got like deep thoughts that they wanted to get out. That also sounds good as compared to like somebody that's just talking about cars all the time. Yeah. So I think that's where I identify musically. But yeah, sometimes you just want to listen to some gospel, and it's also a nostalgia thing because that's what I was raised on. So you know, I probably listened to more hip hop and R&B over the past like decade than gospel, but like the couple of decades before that, it was flipped. So you know, there's always going to be a part of me that's like, no, gospel music, like that's where it is. Every now and then, I see what the gospel music that's most popular now is because I'm not as you know, in tune with it as I once was, just to see like who are the popular like gospel artists nowadays. Mm-hmm. And usually it's the sons and daughters of the past gospel artists.
Just, no, for real.
I looked that up today. Family. I was like, oh, family you member. Related to, oh, just, yeah. Oh, Tamla Man. Okay.
Aaron Clark Shear, Kiki Shear, right, yeah. Alvin Shear. Yeah. Yep.
I think it's, I think for me, like to summarize how I feel about these two like worlds of like Christian and gospel music and hip hop and R&B is just like, I just feel like at this point in my life, it's just a part of who I am.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like I've gotten a lot comfortable with that over the years of being like, I don't feel bad for listening to it. I think one of the things that draws me to hip hop more is like the story behind it and the transparency around the artist a lot of times. It's like when you listen to a full album, and I think of like a hip hop or R&B album, you can really get like the full story or get and still understand the context, because a lot of times those artists are more transparent than the gospel artists.
Mm.
And I think that it's a lot more to find the context. Like, let's, for instance, Summer Walker. We know this wouldn't be, we know it was a good album, but it was an even better album because we know who she was talking about.
Exactly.
Same with Beyonce. We know Lemonade was a good album, but we knew it was about Jay-Z.
Yeah.
And so we know the context around, and I talked to Chloe about this all the time. I'd be like, man, like, this song was big at this time because, like, you remember when this happened?
Yeah.
Like, this was a response to that. And then she's like, oh, dang, I didn't even realize it. Like,
yeah.
Because sometimes, like, you listen to songs at face value. Sometimes you listen to it, like, on the radio. You don't know the context of the album or of the person and stuff like that. And so I think hip-hop and R&B, like, because they share so much with the world as opposed to, like, the gospel singer, it's easier to get attached to the artist as a fan as opposed to, like, you know, one of the things that Kirk Franklin does well, like, he stays in our face like a hip-hop artist. But, like, if I was a real Donnie McClurkin fan, I've thrown a lot of shade on him in the past, but, like, we don't know what's up with him, for real. Hey, you can take that however you want to take that, but, like, we don't really know what's up until, like, you hear him preach one day and be like, man, I lost somebody in the family. And like, but it wasn't no music to follow that, you know, to be like, man, I wonder if, like, if he sat with that and wrote an album after that loss. Because that's what a lot of hip-hop, like, along with it being, like, they keep their fans because it's like Nike. They keep their fans because they keep bringing out new stuff, like, back to back to back. Like, you know, you see a pastor, you know, come out with music. He won't come out with music for another, like, 7 years, 5 years, 3 years. Whereas in hip-hop, like, if Drake don't come out with an album every year, it's an issue, if not two.
Right.
If Future don't come out with an album every 6 months, if Gucci didn't come out with an album every 6 weeks, like, back in the day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, so they stay in front of your face and they keep gaining fans while maintaining.
Yep.
And I think that we can always fall back on Christian music because we're not missing nothing. Like, I can come right back in and be like,
that's a good point.
These songs still coming on the radio when I'm in the car with my mom. Like, this song still coming. Bro, a song that came out 3 months ago is barely coming on the radio sometimes. At least that's how I feel with hip-hop, you know what I mean? And then when they do something wrong, is there a cancel culture in gospel music? But it sure is in hip hop. Like, they, you know, I'm sure these Christians doing something wrong. Just they cheating on their wives the same. They kicking their girlfriends out the same way the baby is. But you know, like, we don't hear about it the same. You know, and I think that the biggest thing for me, along with me just liking hip hop and R&B, is like seeing it's more to the person than that. And a lot of Christian artists, a lot of them are pastors. A lot of them are like youth pastors or ministers, and we don't necessarily see different sides of them other than like, I'm trying to present the perfect self to the world. And that is, if I can control it, that is all you will see. Whereas these artists, they go on live any other day. I know they PR person. PR, they wouldn't even exist if it was like, you know what I mean, if it wasn't for after hip-hop artists and stuff like that. And I think that that's what draws us, is like, that's how I'll react to that. You know what I mean? You know how many conversations we've had about, like, just us three as, like, friends, you know, be like, man, I wouldn't have did it like that. Or I agree with this person doing it that way. You know, we don't get that same dialogue. And so I think that it along with the music being good on both sides, one comes out more frequent, one relates to our spiritual side. But I don't feel like I'm losing anything by listening to both. I don't think that it will block me from going to heaven, because I feel like a lot of times when we talk about, over the years of the podcast, we talk about artists, we talk about songs. I'll talk about Gucci, right, or Pusha T or whatever, and be like, yeah, that's like the alter ego. Like, that's like the side that I wish I could show when somebody makes me mad. But, like, I know that's the side I will not show. You know what I mean? Because I have, like, the Holy Spirit, or I have, like, a filter that will not let that show. But it was like, man, if somebody did that to me, I would do that same thing if I lived that lifestyle. But I don't, so I won't do that. You know what I mean? So it's just another side of us. Like, nobody is just a two-sided coin. Like, we're, like, have many sides and many layers. And I that's what makes me feel comfortable with, like, merging the two and not having shame about it. Like, I will say this same thing I said on this podcast in front of my entire church, and I wouldn't care what nobody said about it. Like, yes, I listen to Christian music. Yes, I listen to hip-hop. And that doesn't make me any worse than you. You know what I mean? And that's just how I feel about it. And it is a gray area, like Chloe said, and stuff like that. And I feel like I feel even better when people, like, we can judge Kanye however, but, like, I felt really good listening to, like, Sunday Service. Like, that was a legit gospel album. Like, no rapping. Like, that was a legit old school sample gospel album that I really appreciated, because, like, man, these are songs I grew up on that I was forced to sing, if you will. Like, but he made it in a way that was a little bit more current, and how he sampled songs, and him and Chance over the last couple years. So that's just how I feel about it. That's my last, like, thoughts on the topic today, you know?
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think, you know, just as a final thought, I think that we're all also strong enough individuals that we can listen to hip-hop and R&B and know, like, what parts to take out of it. Like, we can listen to a song that Pusha T puts out and not necessarily want to go out and, like, kill somebody, because we're stronger individuals than that. Like, we're not, you know, like, taking everything they say and, like, applying it to our lives. Like, sometimes you just want to listen to a certain type of song, and then once it's over, it's over. It's don't carry it with you. It's just like, that was cool, now I'm gonna move on with my day and listen to something else. So I think it helps to be strong mentally and emotionally in that way. Okay. This was a dope conversation. I don't have anything else. You all have anything else?
No? This was good. Thanks for having us.
Thank you all for joining me on my farewell tour. Thank you, Chloe, especially for this dope topic. This
was incredible. Shout out to Chloe for the topic.
I'm trying to redeem myself, America.
The very first time you
saw a podcast that maybe you're on here for 3 years. If you want to cringe, go back to me.
I'll put the link in the description.
Nah, but I know I have, like, man, this is so crazy. This is the last time I'm be on the podcast. It's the farewell tour, because I still remember the day you brought
like the idea with the intro.
Oh, yeah.
With the Kanye West beat as the intro when you were doing all types of illegal things.
Yeah, with the music. Podcast. Yeah, yeah. I remember. It was literally just the Get 'em High instrumental from College Dropout. And I was like, man, definitely can't leave that up.
You can't leave that up, right? But it's like,
it was dope, though.
Seeing it evolve, seeing the art around it, the time you put into it, how you, you know, a lot of the research and stuff, I literally would not know as much about music if it wasn't for this podcast. This legit was my number one source for hip-hop and R&B, and I don't know where I'm going to get that information without it.
We'll just have to text about it.
Yeah, we'll just,
I'm still had the knowledge. I just won't be giving it out because I'm still planning on, like, you know, staying up on everything because I truly do just enjoy researching hip-hop and R&B and, like, knowing what's going on with it. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably going to keep doing that, and I'll probably need to with the book that I'm planning on writing anyway. But,
yeah.
Yeah, this has been really dope.
Yeah.
I'm crazy. Excited.
Yes, sir. But, yeah, it's been an honor. I appreciate you having us on.
No doubt.
And you've definitely made a way for me to be on even while in college.
Yeah.
In Ohio. And
true.
Everything like that. So just seeing it grow over the years is tough. You got like real technology and real mics and all this is official. So
yeah, we out here.
Rest in peace to Thinking Outside the Boombox.
Right.
Soon. Not yet.
Right. Not yet. Still got like maybe 20 episodes to go.
Oh, shoot.
Actually, maybe like 15.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
But yeah, thank you all. Thank you all for coming on. Dope conversation. I'm excited to have more, you know, outside of the podcast about music because I just enjoy talking about it.
Yes, sir.
So that is it for the Dig Deeper segment for this week. You already know where you can find me. ThinkingOutsideTheBoombox.com is the website. TOTB, the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Do you all want to plug any of your social medias? You want the people to know where to find you? You don't have to.
No.
That was a no from Chloe.
That was a no. I think my
she's off the grid.
Oh my kid. I think I'm chill. I'm joking on IG or chill just joking. You'll find it, whichever one. You'll look, find one it on IG and Twitter. Whatever that is, what it is.
You know? Cool. You already know what it is. It's Thinking Outside the Boombox, your number one source for hip hop and R&B news.
Peace.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.